Okay, so I'll go ahead and get started because I'm a little fearful I'll run out of time here. But just to disclose, I have no relationships to disclose in this presentation here today. So I always like to begin with American Indian populations and just trying to show how many exist here in the United States. So according to the U.S. Census, 5.4 million people identify as American Indian or Alaska Native in the United States alone or in combination with another race. And it's important to note that there are over 560 federally recognized tribes in the United States, and of that, there are 200 that exist in Alaska. So you have those Alaska Native groups as well. And there are over 200 indigenous languages spoken among these various groups. But in California, we have some of the largest American Indian populations here with 109 federally recognized tribes. There are with 85 reservations. But there are also a very large urban population that exists in the state of California. And this means that these are defined by American Indian individuals that are trying to seek education, employment, or even been part of the relocation program where the U.S. government was trying to assimilate American Indians into mainstream society. And so, for example, I'm a product of that, where both my parents went through a relocation program in the late 60s, early 70s, where they were removed themselves from the reservations for employment and met in Oakland. And so I'm an urban Indian, born and raised in Northern California and doing the great work today here in California. Because our outcomes in this study is looking at smoking behaviors, it's important to also highlight traditional tobacco use, as this has been used for many years and plays a really big role with American Indian cultures. Not every tribe uses traditional tobacco, but everyone knows to respect it, or at least that's what we're trying to increase that awareness of non-natives. There are many different ways in how tobacco is being used, and it's also important to note that it's only occasionally used and inhaled infrequently. But what we're trying to learn is, with the high rates of smoking in this population, is the use of traditional tobacco a risk or a protective factor for these high rates? And so that's something we're trying to learn. But to make it more complex, the use of tobacco in traditional or ceremonial uses may be homegrown, selected out in the wild, or maybe store-bought tobacco as well. And just to highlight, because of this health equity panel, there are many health disparities that do exist with American Indian adolescents, and we are the most vulnerable with high rates of substance abuse, commercial tobacco use, and mental health disparities. And there's many disparities that have emerged in the context of social, political, cultural, and historical dynamics since colonization. And so this has led a lot to the endured prolonged exploitations because of legacy of trauma, poverty, discrimination, and so forth. And so there's definitely a need for various research with not only urban youth who are underserved and understudied, but with reservation youth as well to inform health promotion and intervention development. With our smoking outcomes in this study, it's important to note that American Indian adolescents do have the highest smoking rates. So according to CDC current use status, we have the highest smoking prevalence when compared to other racial and ethnic groups. But in addition, I also wanted to point and highlight, because of the work here in California, according to a recent California Health Interview survey, not only are American Indian populations needing more service and outreach for different tobacco control efforts, but you see here the high rates of these various subgroups that have the highest smoking rates in California as well and deserve a lot of attention as well. So the purpose of this study is that previous studies have shown various explanations for this high risk with American Indian youth, but fewer studies have not examined cultural risk and protective factors as it relates to historical trauma, ethnic identity, and participation in cultural events to smoking behaviors. So this is our theoretical model and looking at trying to understand what's the risk to or protective factor to the smoking outcomes for our study here. Sorry, I'm losing my notes here. So historical trauma is a very important piece to look at because this really encompasses a lot of the historical traumatic of events that have happened throughout Native American history as it relates to genocide, pandemics, forced relocation, removal of Indian children from their home into boarding schools. And so that has an intergenerational effect on many of these youth today. So they may not have directly been impacted by these particular traumatic events, but there is a way to show and understand the reports of them if they think daily or yearly, how often do they think about these historical losses as it relates to, do they think about loss of land, loss of culture, loss of language? And so that's what this measure is here as we look at historical trauma losses mediating these three predictors to the smoking outcomes. And so with ethnic identity, we also wanted to understand, as ethnic identity is a person's strength of one's connection to an ethnic group, we know that ethnic identity is protective against substance use among multiracial ethnic groups, but this appears less consistent among American Indian adolescents. And so we want to understand the direct association of ethnic identity to smoking outcomes, as well as its direct association to historical trauma, because ethnic identity could be protective because you're linking these adolescents as they're developing their identity to their cultural heritage, and could this lead to an increased awareness of this historical losses that they may report. So in addition, we also want to look at the indirect association of ethnic identity to smoking mediated by historical trauma. Cultural activities, we included two, sweat lodges and drum groups. And so we wanted to understand if they participated in those two cultural activities that does encompass traditional tobacco use. And so we wanted to understand the cultural involvement and how that may or may not have an impact to directly to historical trauma, but also the direct association to smoking outcomes as well, because we don't know these associations as well as we would like to in the research. And so we also, again, looking at historical trauma and its indirect association, the association of cultural activities to smoking with historical trauma as a mediator as well. And lastly, stressful life events. That's looking at the losses of a lot of different stressful life events that occur in an adolescent's life and how that is linked as well to historical trauma and to the smoking outcomes. So this overall study is really trying to examine the historical trauma mediating these effects and adjusting for age, gender, SES, and region. So these are kind of the quick hypotheses, and I'll just go ahead and continue on for the sake of time. And so this study was funded by the Tobacco-Related Disease Research Program, which was a cross-sectional study design. We were able to develop a culturally specific tobacco survey. Native youth throughout California were also the eligibility criteria was you have to identify as American Indian, be between the ages of 13 to 19, and live in California. So we were able to collect data in 49 different sites throughout the state of California, as you can see here with this map. So the colors indicate the counties we were able to reach Native youth, and the white are the counties that we were unable to reach Native youth. But we had a really good sample of, for our analysis, of 969 Native youth with a mean age of 15.5, with more females and more urban represented in this sample. And with our methods, the outcomes, we used the CDC YRBS measures. Ethnic identity, we used the FINI, the multi-group ethnic identity measure, with 12 items and with a good alpha. Our cultural practices, again, as I mentioned, sweat lodge and drum groups we used, where we had to create an activity measure or variable where zero meant that the students did not participate in either sweat lodge or drum group, and one was coded for whether they participated in one or both. Stressful life events by Gonzalez, the Mesa, there's 83 items that are just listings of students being able to check off if any of these they had experienced in the last 3 months. And our mediator historical trauma or historical loss scale was developed by Wittbeck, who this is specifically for American Indian populations to try and understand the reports of loss of culture, loss of land, etc. So for our analysis, we did use SAS for just descriptive statistics, and we used M+ for structure equation modeling for our path analysis to understand these variables for our theoretical model. We did have two latent variables, four manifest variables. We adjusted again for these covariates, and we had overall fit of the model was adequate based on these fit indices that we will show. So quickly, this is the 13-item list of historical trauma items that were part of this historical loss scale, just to give you an idea of the questions that students had to ask on a 6-point scale, whether it was several times a day to weekly, monthly, yearly, or never. And so 21% of these students did report historical trauma losses daily, and 60% of our overall sample had experienced historical trauma on one or more items or reports of these items here listed. And with stressful life events, the three top, or I guess the four top ones outcomes is just showing how much of our 969 students had really thought about these things. A close friend got drunk or high, they did poorly on exams, so you're just seeing kind of an example of some of the stressful life events that they endure. But getting to this fancy model here, we did have these two parcels with the four, with ethnic identity and historical trauma with a good alpha here. But in looking at the overall model of this, cultural, it's kind of hard to see, but cultural events did not have any direct association to either smoking outcomes. We had thought that we might be able to see it as a negative association showing it's protective, but there was no significant association, direct association to this. And ethnic identity to experimental smoking is also just indicating that that did not have any direct association. Bless you. And so just looking at this, overall fit of the model was adequate based on these fit indices below here, and we won't get into too much detail with that. So in these direct effects, all three predictors of ethnic identity, cultural events, and stressful life events did have direct positive associations to historical trauma. What's interesting is ethnic identity had a negative direct significant association to past smoking, showing a protective mechanism for this. And with stressful life events, they both were positive paths to both smoking outcomes as well. So with indirect effects, with ethnic identity, there was this indirect effect here of ethnic identity to past smoking. And the direct effect of ethnic identity, as showed earlier, was protective, but this mediated effect was in the opposite direction, as you can see here, showing ethnic identity leading to higher levels of historical trauma, which in turn increases the risk for smoking. So if historical trauma had not been included as a mediator in this model, these two effects would have canceled each other out, and the association between ethnic identity and smoking would have been appeared to be non-significant. So depending on which of these opposing effects is stronger, the association between ethnic identity and smoking could appear to be positive, negative, or non-significant. So this inclusion of HT losses as a mediator does help to describe this complex association more accurately. Again, we have that inconsistent mediation because of the protective direct association it had. And then with the indirect effect, we had a full mediation with cultural events to smoking, past month smoking, and historical trauma as a mediator. So if youth were reporting higher levels of historical trauma losses from participating in cultural activities, and we know that cultural activities is very important to the American Indian culture and spiritual life to an individual, but we're seeing that if they're engaging in cultural activities, they may become more aware about how much more they need to learn or how much more is happening within their community and their native way of life. So again, what we're kind of noticing is that if you're having this development of ethnic identity as well as being involved in cultural events, you're also learning about the Native American history and what has happened to the people as well, which may then be increasing these higher reports of historical trauma losses among these youth. But with this direct mediation, this is also not indicating that they need to reduce their cultural participation, because studies do show that participating in your cultural ways is really reducing substance use and you becoming more resilient and other positive factors for positive health outcomes. So this is the piece where a lot of the attention needs to be given for how to create better interventions, so that way if they are dealing with historical trauma, how can they best cope with these so they don't resort to smoking or other substance uses. And we also had a direct path with stressful life events to past month smoking, so we saw a mediation here as well. So again, this is just the final model showing how historical trauma does mediate ethnic identity, cultural events, and stressful life events to health outcomes. We kind of went through this, so I will go ahead and continue on with the discussion of just how important it is for further interventions with American Indian youth, because as it's really shown here, they have higher thoughts, or at least this historical trauma losses are on the minds of American Indian youth, and how one potential coping mechanism is smoking. And so there obviously is other studies that need to be done to indicate how they might be coping with some of these mechanisms. But again, this is really alluding to the need of interventions that are needed and making sure that we continue those cultural activities as it's shown to prove resilient, to indicate resilience and less substance use. So it's really finding this complex way of understanding of how to incorporate those interventions so that it's really bringing health outcomes to these individuals. More emphasis is definitely needed on historical trauma thoughts, and more emphasis is needed to help these Native youth, especially as we involve cultural practices as well. So for further studies, I mean, and this really just really illuminates the need for health parity among Native youth, because they are at risk, not just for smoking behaviors, mental health behaviors, alcohol use behaviors. So there's a lot of health disparities that exist within this population, and there's definitely a need for much more work. There are programs that do exist for these Native youth on reservations in urban communities to really help them be involved in cultural activities and to steer them away from substance uses. But what's really needed is rigorous evaluation so that we can show that these are evidence-based and continue to spread this to larger students or Native youth throughout the country. And this does involve community-based participatory research and involving the community in many aspects to really build on the strengths of the community and empower them to create these solutions on their own. And none of this can be done without funding, so we need a lot more funding for tobacco control and mental health programs to really help increase parity within the populations. And so just quick limitations, this was cross-sectional data, so it's very difficult to try and get long-term data with this population, but we're always trying to seek that. Yes, limitations, self-reported information. And it is difficult to separate the students' reports of smoking from their ceremonial tobacco use as well. These cultural activities that were part of this study do not represent all of California and other tribal traditions, but it does give us a sense of their participation in these cultural activities and how this relates to smoking outcomes. And historical trauma items, they were negatively worded, so this may induce negative thinking, so that's another limitation to our study. And lastly, American Indian youth in urban and reservation areas cannot be generalizable to other tribes in the United States. And my acknowledgments to all the individuals, tribes, and my family, and to the grant for supporting this effort. Thank you.